Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to start off with some poems that just to get the program going. The first piece is called Crackhead / Pillar of Society Living in a Parallel Universe. And this is an original work. Where was I when I looked into the mirror? A man was there older than the day before. A man was there younger than tomorrow. I didn't understand the image. Again, if someone is dealing with issues concerning mental illness and or mental health in general, it's so important to have an opportunity to speak with someone about your concern and or issue. We cannot go through life, in my opinion, without experiencing some of the vicissitudes that life offers. No one can live their life, again, in my opinion, without feeling unscathed or dealing with something that may be causing them some type of difficulty, whether big or small. So, again, please talk with someone about those issues that may be causing you concern. Another piece of poetry. Is by Pablo Neruda. If you forget me, I want you to know one thing. You know how this is. If I look at the crystal moon, at the red branch of the slow autumn at my window, if I touch near the fire, the impalpable ash or the wrinkled body of the log, everything carries me to you. As if everything that exists, aromas, light, metals, were little boats that sail toward those isles of yours that wait for me. Well now, if little by little you stop loving me, I shall stop loving you. Little by little. If suddenly you forget me, do not look for me, for I shall already have forgotten you. If you think it's long and mad, the wind of banners that passes through my life, and you decide to leave me at the shore of the heart where I have roots, remember that on that day, at that hour, I shall lift my arms and shall set my roots off to seek another land. But if each day, each hour, you feel that you are destined for me with implacable sweetness, if each day a flower climbs up to your lips to seek me, ah, my love, ah, my love, are my own. In me all that fire is repeated. In me nothing is extinguished or forgotten. My love feeds on you, my love, beloved. And as long as you live, it will be in your arms without ever leaving mine. So again, that's by Pablo Neruda. And as we're waiting for callers to call in, I'd like you to listen to some music, and I will return. Welcome back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm the Executive Director of the DC Poetry Project, an organization that's growing in terms of reputation as well as members. We attempt to promote positive things in the community. We are a nonprofit. Our mission statement is primarily to provide poetic opportunities for individuals as well as offer ourselves in terms of volunteer efforts and to build community partnerships. So what I'd like to do now is to continue this journey in terms of poetry and recite a couple of pieces back-to-back, one of which was written by Paul Lawrence Dunbar. And actually, this is a tribute to Dr. Maya Angelou because her work, Caged Bird, was based on Mr. Dunbar's work, Sympathy. So I'd like to recite both works back-to-back. And again, his work is called Sympathy. I know what the caged bird feels, alas, when the sun is bright on the upland slopes, when the wind stirs soft through the springing grass, and the river flows like a stream of glass. When the first bird sings, and the first bud opens, and the faint perfume from his chalice steals, I know what the caged bird feels. I know why the caged bird beats his wings till his blood is red on the cruel bars, for he must fly back to his perch and cling when he fain would be on the boa swing, and a pain still throbs in the old scars, and they pulse again with a keener sting. I know why he beats his wings. I know why the caged bird sings, ah me, when his wing is bruised and his bosom sore, when he beats his bars and he would be free. It is not a carol of joy or glee, but a prayer that he sends from his heart's deep core, but a plea that up to the heavens he fling. I know why the caged bird sings. As we know, we lost the acclaimed artist, poet, writer, civil rights champion, Dr. Maya Angelou, in May of 2014 at the age of 86. And her autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, she'll be forever known for. But she also wrote a piece as well called The Caged Bird. And what I'd like to do is to recite that piece. The piece, just a little background information, was written in 1983 and was published in Dr. Angelou's book, Shaker, Why Don't You Sing? The poem's about her experiences, personal experiences with discrimination growing up in the South during the 1930s and the 1940s, and the struggles that occurred during the 1960s civil rights movement. The caged bird has often been viewed as a metaphor for the universal desire of all beings for personal liberty. So again, this is Dr. Angelou's version, based on Paul Laurence Dunbar's version. This is called The Caged Bird. A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current's end and dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees. And the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with the fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. Again, it's by Dr. Maya Angelou, written in 1983, one of her most famous works. And what I'd like to do is to take you to another commercial break. And once I come back, we'll continue this journey. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello? Yes. Yes. How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm quite well. And yourself?
I'm good.
Good, good.
Hello?
Again, my name is... Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you both... Yes, fantastic. Again, this is the pilot episode, and we're just still trying to figure things out, so I'm so glad you called in. Again, my name is Michael Ingram. I'm the host of the DC Poetry Project's Poet on Fire radio show, call-in radio show, and I'm really glad that you both called in. Do you both plan to share your work?
I do.
You do? And the
yes.
gentleman? All right,
yeah,
all right, fantastic. And your name?
My name is Tavor.
Tavor. Spell that for me, please.
It's T-O-V-O-R.
Okay.
That stands for the original voice of reason.
All right, I like that, I like that. All right, all right. And young man, yourself, what is your name?
Wing Dog.
All right. Hey, I'm really glad you both called in. This is going to be quite successful. All right. Okay, so what I'd like you to do, we're going to kind of go back and forth. So I'd like you to recite a piece and then allow the other person to recite. And since it's such a small crowd, then I'll recite one and we'll just go in that order. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Okay, all right then. So what I'd ask you to do, if you're not reciting at that particular moment, to put your phone on mute while the person shares his or her work. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Put my phone on mute now.
Who do you want to go first?
Okay. Okay.
You know,
put
it one at a time.
Who do
you
want to go
like,
first? Yeah.
I'd like
to like,
going to go one at a time. One at a time.
Can you,
all right,
like,
then.
Yeah, instead of us putting our phone, can you mute us out and just put whoever's speaking on?
Well, I'll let one of you two go first. I won't go first. How about
no, you
that?
Go ahead and go first. It don't matter. I would just I don't want to interrupt you with my speaker. If I move or something, I don't want to interrupt you as you.
Well, if you put your speaker, if you put your phone on mute, then
mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd interrupt her. I don't believe. Let's try. Let's just roll with it. Let's just see what happens.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm gonna put my phone on mute right now. And y'all tell me if you can hear me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it'll work, because when you mute your phone, there won't be any background noise coming from your end. Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, young lady, please go first, and then the gentleman
okay.
will follow you. How does that sound?
That's fine.
All right.
Okay,
great.
So I have two pieces I wanted to share, but right now I only have access to one, so I might end up just doing one.
You heard?
So this piece
Hello?
Is titled, can you hear me?
Yes, someone Hello? Else just joined us. Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second, sir. There's someone sharing
okay.
their work, so just hold on 1 second, please. All right?
Sure.
Yes, okay. Sure, sir.
All right. We'll figure it all out. Please continue. Hello? Can you hear me?
I can still hear you.
Okay. Can you both still hear me?
Yeah,
I can
hear you.
Hear you too.
Okay, great. Okay, please start over, please. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
This piece is titled Oil. Moroccan argan pleasantly intoxicates. Every man in my presence wants to make a sedate. One came closer to the sight of sparkle in my eye. Inhaled deeply, pheromone undercurrents took him high.
See, I got the remedy for every one of their needs. I am the glowing goddess within their fantasy. No need to seduce. They wide open because they want to be taken on this ride. Wise, wide eyes fully awakened. But before I knew it, the whirlwind calmed, and he wished for the journey to be prolonged. He didn't rush, just blush, and yearned for more glitz. Anonymous, I left him flush, and he was having fits. My fingertip to his lips so that he would hush. Closed his eyes, shook his head, and he was in a fuss. I said, don't fight, good night, then walked away. The long stare at my hair, he didn't get to play and rub the oil. And that's it.
Wow. Oh, wow. Tell us a little bit about your piece. Tell us about the inspiration.
Say again?
About the inspiration for the writing of your piece.
Oh, the inspiration, well, oil, the manner in which I spelled oil for this poem is O-Y-L.
Okay.
And the inspiration came, actually, I have a cosmetology license, and so I constantly try out different hair products because I'm natural. I've been natural for quite some time, and so, but even before I was natural, I used to try out a lot of different things, and so one day I had cracked open a sample product that I had. It was a Moroccan oil product, fair moisturizer, and as soon as I opened it, it smelled like divine. So that's really what inspired that piece, because as I smelled this fragrance, it just got me in the frame of mind like, man, this is a scent that would seduce a man, you know? all I have to do is kind of put it on my hair, I can rub it on my skin and just, you know, walk through a room with it and entice somebody, and I think it would be effective. So that was my motivation for writing that.
And the title of the poem again?
Oil.
Oil. O-Y-L. I'll always remember that spelling. Thank you. All right. Wing Dog, are you ready?
Yeah. Why you keep laughing at my name, man? Hello?
Well, I'm not laughing at your name, man. I'm with you. I'm just glad you're here.
No,
I'm just pleased.
I'm pleased that you're on
the air with the DC Poetry Project tonight. So let's continue this journey. We're going to make it work no matter what. All right. Please,
just playing with you, man. I go to these blog talk shows regularly, and I just use that alias because one of my cousins called me that, and when I always want to get my real name, that's the first time somebody asked me, and Wing Dog popped in my mind, and I just go by it ever since. So whenever I don't want to use my real name, I just say Wing Dog because my nickname is something else. But anyway.
Well, we can look up your name on the internet, you know what I'm saying, through NSA, but please continue your journey.
All right. The name of this piece is called Renaissance. Deep from the South, I'm the new Jim Crow. I'm about to desegregate your minds and integrate your intellects like Gabriel's trumpet. I'm about to blow. Now, my people, we need a renaissance, a rebirth, a revival amongst the black population. We need a resounding, soul-stirring movement that is strong enough to make Harlem shake, and they will tap dance on the floor of our youth minds to the earthquake. Rebellious and unbridled and full of unborn potentials, today's youth need to revisit a womb, tie them back to the umbilical cord, to stop the short cycle from the cradle to the tomb. And like a noose, hang them from the tree of knowledge, till their mind is transformed and bound in wisdom like a degree from college. We need a renaissance with an insightful intuition, a new constitution in the black institutions. We the people need to recite the preamble and quit pre-rambling. We the people, including us, yet are we deaf? We can't hear the echoes reaching to the bottom of the barrel, acting like mute crabs, all about the advancement of self. Now, whatever happened to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? It seems like the legend of Sleepy Hollow we follow. We out here riding our tricked-out 400 Cadillac mules decapitated, headless horsemen devoid of direction, hollering, eyes free! Now, we may have been emancipated, yet it seems that others are still waiting on Miss Tubman at the depot of the Underground Railroad, refusing to let go of a slave mentality. 12 Years a Slave was a biographical movie, but sadly for some, it's still a present-day reality. I tell you, we need a James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud renaissance, a rebirth in rap. We need to take this hip-hop back to the conscious movement. KRS-One, Public Enemy, Common, Poor Righteous Teachers, take the mic away from these rich wannabe gangster rappers, better yet, immorality preachers. De La Soul, make a comeback and rebirth school. sending these students that bound by two chains back to rap old school. And within our community, we need a gut-wrenching, spirit-moving renaissance. In homes and schools, out went respect and then public prayers. The result, the disenfranchisement of the tribal village, when the elderly ruled and a child stayed in a child's place. I mean, really. See, lack of respect got these playboys out here disrespecting God's finest creation. Go play, boys. Mistreating women ain't some type of social recreation. Contented bodies and discontented minds is this generation's motto that's rudely overshadowed their great-grandmother's mantra. And with the steel will and the raw courage of our forefathers, we need to build and bridge the gap between generations and break generational curses, dismantle the cycle from the street to prison to black hearses. I tell you, my brother, we need a hallelujah, Holy Ghost revival like back in the day in the black churches. See, I'm the preacher of this sermon, and this is not pretend, but an important, potent portent. We need a life-changing, lengthened, huge attitude and a W.E.B. Du Bois moment. The Harlem Renaissance notable this once said, there is in this world no such force as the force of a man determined to rise. The human soul cannot be permanently changed. I tell you, we need a king-inspired renaissance, just the right size of a civil movement. There's more powerful than Gil Scott Heron untelevised revolution. Do we need Marcus Garvey to lead us back to Africa, to reincarnate the spirit of Mr. Nelson Mandela Madiba, to help abolish this modern-day apartheid that's keeping us apart and partying, so our young kings will not attain a Ph.D. to become Dr. Kings? We need bold new leaders and bold visionaries to be vanguards and to stand guard over a movement that's unrestrained as the lyricist Tupac, with the consciousness of the poem by Leroy Jones, a.k.a. Amaria Baraka, and as influential as the speeches spoken by President Barack. Now, my brothers and sisters, we need a rapture, a rebirth that would capture the attention and span across this new napping nation. We need mothers and fathers to be pillars, a soft place of encouragement, and a strong place of support, a garrison of unified black pillars. We need role models like forest need trees, with roots of that of Mr. Haley's, those to understand where we came from and know where they're going. Alan Locke, the father of the Harlem Renaissance, and the author of The New Negro, an interpretation, I tell you, these young new Negroes, they need a new interpretation. Count T. Cullen, author of Copper Sun, come teach our Copper Sons. Zora Neale Hurston, Nella Larson, Walter F. White, Claude McKay, you are all part of a renaissance. Come baptize us in your Harlem shadows and show us the way. Now, finally, as we attempt to educate our youth, y'all go and tell them this. Now, it's okay to be cool, but, my children, empower your mind, because on the contrary, ignorance is not bliss. Now, my people, I say it again. We need a renaissance, a revival, a rebirth. Oh, wait. Maybe we just need Jesus to repackage these vessels of anointed black dirt. That's my voice.
Wow.
Word.
Wow, that's powerful, man. Extremely powerful.
All right.
But it's nice, wasn't it?
Thank you.
Man.
Snap, snap, snap.
Yeah, I guess there's no need to ask your inspiration, man. That
I wrote that for MLK, a group of poets here in Alabama, in Huntsville to be exact.
Okay.
Artists, they was putting on they put on an annual event called the MLK, and it's in January. And I wrote that piece to perform at that event.
Oh wow, that's fantastic! Thank you so much for
sharing. Thank you.
Mr. Pilgrim, are you on the air?
I'm here. How are you?
All right, sir. Take us on a journey.
We got time for two, or we just doing one?
We were trying to go on around just one at a time, just around.
Okay.
We should have time for two.
Okay. This one is called Dead and Gone. Tongue-tied with words I should have said. I hope my expectations were in line with my potential. I hope my zeal withstood these character flaws. I hope my wishes didn't exceed this dollar and change. I was told there's no prescription for self-loathing, so now I Peter Pan it. Happy thoughts keep me upright. Mental pleasantries my updraft. You speak of passion. Passion was my soul at slumber. I was the unyielding fire in love, consuming all that I encounter. My first poem soaked up my last tear, a psychological laxative for my mind's constipation. Now I pour emotion into stanzas, short stories, haikus, alliterations, metaphors, figures of speech, words that matter, phrases that don't, and of course run-on sentences. I put my soul on display for strangers and listen quietly while they critique my accent. So if I may be so bold, when I'm dead and gone and that train's left the station, I'd like to live on like a Bible translation. I look at life as a series of happenings, M. Night twisted circumstances, as if five senses weren't enough, a sixth was added to discern my shortcomings. I'm no Homer, though, so my Odyssey still lacks its Iliad. Yep, too bad there's no Pulitzer Prize for clever wordplay. But still I remain bold. So when I'm dead and gone, and that train's left the station, please let me live on like a Bible translation.
Wow.
And what's your name again? I missed your name.
Gary.
Okay.
Powerful, Gary.
Yeah, it was great.
I like that line about the, yeah, it was, the very constipation. You know, I want to live on like a Bible translation.
Yeah, that was
right. Oh, man. You're talented, brother. I've always felt that.
Thank you.
I'm going to
say your name, Gary.
That's okay. His name is Gary.
Yeah, that's my name. That's my government name, Gary, too.
That's
so
your name, too,
we're
in Gary. Your window, right?
Oh, I had already looked that up on the air, so. This is a piece called, I'm Glad You Three Are Here. I mean, actually, I was doing this thing by myself, just like a trooper. So I'm glad you all called in. This is called Black Alice in Neverland. Black Alice was never perfect. Although she had perfect thoughts growing up in small-town North Carolina. Thoughts of her mama's sweet potato pie and hot-watered cornbread sitting on a kitchen stove. Thoughts of what the world would look like when she reached the perfect age. Now she's reached the perfect age. Where did those perfect thoughts go? Black Alice's life was never perfect either. Although she would proudly tell anyone that she greeted it was, she'd spin charming tales about her perfect children and her perfect husband who worked the perfect job. Never a day of complaint she'd proudly share with anyone who would listen. Those who knew her well shook their heads, chuckled in disbelief, and watched how that perfect lie would grow on her tongue like mold on the front porch after a hard southern rain. Black Alice never sang perfectly in the choir. Although she could be heard singing loudly in the back of the church, singing in pitch-perfect way, and swaying proudly in an imaginary perfect long white robe trimmed with gold and tightly cradling a rare hymnal in perfect condition. Yet in her mind, thoughts of perfection are what saved her each night her perfect husband walked in. Mad and swinging at the world, fist flying, fury striking her face like lightning. Soon the storm would pass. A quick, hey baby, I love you. You know I do. Her perfect husband would softly whisper into her perfect ear as he nibbled on her perfect neck and plant a wet kiss on her raw, bruised, yet no longer perfect cheek. Like Alice never sang in Neverland. All right.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Profound.
Hmm?
I just said that's profound.
Yeah. It does hold a lot in that story.
Mm-hmm.
The stories that we share with others about our lives are sometimes often different than what we live at home, in the privacy of our own home.
Right.
So, Ms. O, would you like to go again?
I would like to, but I wasn't able to pull up the other piece that I wanted to share. It's
okay.
It's called Rest Your Soul, and that was inspired by the death of Trayvon Martin last year. So I definitely wanted to share that, you know, in light of, you know, the recent deaths of other black men. But I'm not able to pull that up, and I don't have it memorized. So I'm only able to share one piece tonight.
All right. You'll be calling in again, right?
I'm sorry?
You'll call in and share that piece, right? Because I want to hear it.
I'll call in again.
I appreciate that. So, Wing Dog, got another one?
Before you guys keep the rotation going, I am going to be getting off the line now, so.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your poem with us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy for the opportunity to have done that.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a good evening.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
All right, Wing Dog, you're on the air.
Okay, this piece is called Lights, Camera, Action. Lights, camera, action. This isn't a movie. This is reality news. Yet the evening news ain't even news anymore. It seemed to be the same old reality show. Mall massacres and school shootings, public random acts of gun violence, by which the leading actor takes his own life. A desperate attempt for 15 minutes of fame with Oscar and Tony and Lil' Emmy resting in pain in ICU or dead on arrival, resting in silence. Two tragic events, same coast, involving a girl named Sandy. A natural disaster, Hurricane Sandy, impacting New York and New Jersey. To a senseless tragedy in Sandy Hook Elementary in another new town. It's got Americans hooked and glued to high-definition TV screens. And then 3D viewers are deaf and numb and disbelief to shock and sadden and unexplainable grief. Others are engaged in new dialogue. It's switching the nation conversation from the physical cliff to automatic weapons and multiple guns clip legislation. So be on guard to water cooler and lunch breaks from high-tech nine minds, real talk coming straight at you like curved bullets shot in a flick wanted, and it's warranted because our children are being slaughtered like fattened cattle headed for the market. Ever since Cain killed Abel, evil has enabled predators, reducing innocent young souls to easy prey like targets, and not for practice, but on purpose. I tell you, there has to be a call for action. And not just from superheroes, but everybody. There are 31,124 verses in the Bible, and not one exempt anybody from grief, heartache, pain, or without Christ from the sting of death. Some ignore the two greatest commandments to love God and love thy neighbor as thyself, choosing instead to skip or flip the verses only pertaining to wealth, while the playgrounds and the parks and inner city streets become the next Vietnam. Tell me, have we allowed our youth to sag, carry holsters, and put on gun belts? Have we spoiled the child and spared the rod just a little too long? The church sanctuaries and school auditoriums and the gyms have become refugee camps. What happened to Boys and Girls Club, Cub Scouts, and summer camps? It's sad to imagine our youth aren't safe in daycare and preschool. Is head start the prerequisite for basic training and kindergarten boot camps? Broken heart flood cheekbones with tears of sorrow, pondering, will there be another bloody battlefield, a new war zone on the horizon tomorrow? I tell you, there has to be a call for action. And arming principals and teachers? I think not. See, I can see it now. Big bully boy getting in trouble, then later he overpowering his teacher. Now he arming 38 hot. Or we could flip the strip. Mr. Smith decided to use the stand your ground law in class on some wannabe teenage Billy Badass that he's afraid of. See, America has gone from a country believing in God we trust to rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat with guns we bust. Now you tell me who's to blame. Is it single-parent homes, absentee fathers, unfazed politicians, immorally corrupt church leaders, or graphic video games? With such ambiguous, fallacious arguments and debates, fantasy and reality, it appears that gamers are the only ones that they can't separate. I tell you, there has to be called to action. And not just a socially contagious reaction filled with compassionate teardrops. Candlelight vigils quickly burn into symbolic national prayers, but for some, momentumous moments of silence can be momentarily minutes of nightmares. These acts of love are great, for love cover a multitude of sins. So please don't get this twisted. See, this poetic expression is not written from a cold heart, a cold-blooded heart filled with apathy. No, Dan. Rather, this poetic gesture bleeds ink from a bleeding heart, extending sincere sympathies while suffering from cardiac arrest in a cardinal tunnel, prison deep in a dark depression. I tell you, I'm sad, but there has to be a call for action. Turn on the lights and flip the divine light switch. Let's put Christ back in schools and courtrooms. Turn on the cameras and adjust the lens to focus more on security in the halls than in the malls. Educate hatred and ignorance. Tell Congress to quit bickering and write more sufficient gun laws. Help counselors and doctors establish new guidelines to identify and treat the mentally disturbed. Thoroughly examine the lives that the enemy took. Let's look if we can learn from Virginia Tech, Fort Hood, Columbia, Florida, Trayvon, Jordan, Chicago, Heidi Pendleton, Colorado Springs, Salem, Sandy Hook, and now St. Louis, Mike Brown. Please, please, let's do whatever it takes to keep the guns out of hands intent on doing harm before there's another call for a national alarm. See, I can see the lights, the TV cameras, but like President Obama said, there has to be more action. That's my piece.
Yeah.
Nice.
Get another powerful piece. Extremely powerful.
Nice.
Extremely
Thank
powerful.
You.
Oh, yeah. Extremely yeah. timely, too. Something needs to be done.
Yes. Yes, right. It is. And then, you know, it's sad that the blue collars, the terrorists now, is blue collars, people that we're supposed to trust that are just committing these modern-day lynches of our young, unarmed black kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
that's ain't nothing to me. The nooses and the guns and the weapons are now, that have replaced, they're the noose. Because, I mean, it's just sad and tragic that any black or white child that's unarmed had life had to be taken, you know, by somebody that we supposed trust to protect us.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, we'll march and we'll light candles, and then a year or 2 months later, it'll happen all over again.
Yes, that's what I said, exactly. But there really has got to be a call to action, you know, and we got to start, but we also got to, we have to use our anger there's a such thing as righteous indignation. You know, the riding outside of that was totally unjustified. You know, it took away the light of the plight of what's going on to me, you know, especially when they committed this atrocity in their own neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't,
right.
That's equivalent to me mad at you, but I'm going up tearing up my mama's house, you know.
Right.
Didn't help our situation at all, you know. So we got to do something else with our anger and direct
something
it into other causes,
yes.
instead of taking it out on our own, within our own community.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. We'll get off my talk show, man. This is your show.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Silver.
Yeah, I'm here. All right, I got one more.
Got another piece.
It's called,
yeah,
I do. It's called The Awakening. I woke up to a dream this morning. My father and I, we walked. Can't remember where we went or why, but what does it matter? I couldn't see through the tears.
I've been shaken at the soul. The blankets pulled back. I've been dragged through the empty halls of my current self. My eye has been made single, and now my body is full of light. For those that can hear what I saw, know to search with your eyes is to find comfort in what is recognizable, but to know with your eye is to realize the incomprehensible. And there were no more claims. Freedom became free. The stars had reminded us, before we were slaves, we were all visionaries, painting pictures. The breaks in clouds, they served as our landscape. Faces and mountains in the distance that begin to take shape. Oh, I can spend forever in this place. The sky is a boundless paradise. Heaven is less a mystery once you've seen what's on the other side. A night to remember. A failure to communicate with the dark this evening has left the moon cut in half. No worries. Being whole is overrated. When you're whole, you're expected to shine. When you're whole and they cry, you're expected to smile. The sun is a hole. And could you imagine what would happen if he missed a day? But not tonight. Tonight there are no worries. Tonight there are no more claims. Freedom remains free. And heaven is no longer a mystery to me.
Wow.
That's it.
You want to share your inspiration?
That was actually probably about 2 years ago. I was I was on a cruise, and I was sitting out on top of a ship. And it's called The Awakening. It's everything just kind of made sense that night, you know? Like, I realized just in life, there's a plan, you know, for everybody in this world. There's a plan, and it's just, it was so much bigger than anything I could comprehend. And just looking up at the sky, it just gave me a moment of clarity. And I just started to write. That was it.
Before
we were what we were, you know, before we came here, like we were kings. We were something big, something special, you know. And just God has a plan for everybody.
That was a powerful piece.
It was.
Thank you.
This last piece, that's before we close out, pretty much follows suit with what you just shared, Dan. I wanted to say really quickly, it's about being something before we came to these shores, and it's called A Letter to Miss Emma. And as people know, the New Colossus is the title of the poem graven on the tablet within the pedestal on the Statue of Liberty. And the most famous words are, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And these words are known to people throughout the world. And this letter is an open letter to Emma Lazarus, the author of the poem. And it's called Dear Miss Emma. Dear Miss Emma, your humble words undoubtedly serve as a comforting balm for many anxious travels. A welcoming branch to hang an exhausted but resolved spirit upon, a steadfast beacon to those who sail here from European shores. A distant land where pink and white
fleshed out the living canvas. Yet, Miss Emma, I must ask the question, what about me? Did you not see my boat pull in as you compassionately called out to others who traveled here from lands beyond the shoulder of liberty? I, too, had traveled on unknown seas. My body also ached and my spirit cried both day and night, confusion and fear about what lied ahead for me, with anger and bewilderment about what had been stripped from me. So what about me, Miss Emma? The middle passage has everlastingly been engraved in my heart. I chanted songs of sorrow for both the living and those that are dead. Dead who unknowingly now slept peacefully beside me. So what about me, Miss Emma? Soon to be viewed as only 3/5 of a man, stripped of my dignity, my 40 acres, and a mule. I, too, huddle with masses yearning to breathe free, masses panting and, like me, slowly dying, masses which were mirror images of the brown clay, golden morning sun, ruby sunset, and the sable nights that frame the time you took to write your most lauded words. I, too, am one of the tired. I'm one of the poor. I'm one of the yearning to breathe free. So, Miss Emma, I saw you standing there. How in the hell did you not see me? Sincerely, a fellow American.
Wow.
Nice.
We're here.
How did you not see me?
Why did you not see me?
Wow. Man, that was deep.
Well, I think all the poems that were shared tonight have been very, very deep, and we're going to close out a little bit early.
All right.
Unless someone else has one. We've got about 4 minutes left, 4 minutes remaining. So I think what we'll do is kind of end on a high note by saying, hey, and signing off, until next week, the D.C. Poetry Project Live, please call in and share your work, and then have an incredible week ahead. And we'll see you next week. So I want to thank the callers, both of you, for calling in, Gary and Wing Dog. Call in anytime. And have a good evening. Thank you.
I'm going to be Gary next time.
All right.
Good night, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, good night, guys. thank you for working with me on the pilot program. All right.
All right. You're welcome.
All right.